Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on, music please.
Hold up. Whoa, 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 whoa. Get out the way, get out the way, get out the way, yeah.
Yeah.
Get out the way, get the fuck up out my way, yeah.
Yeah.
You either with me or against me, ho.
Ho.
You either with me or
wait.
Win. Win, 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 win.
Yeah.
Fuck everything else. Win, 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 win.
Win, mommy.
Win, 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 win.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Scatter Chatter. Today, I have my correspondent. We're going to talk about entrepreneurship and small business ownership, the ins and outs, and the naysayers and the players. What's up, Pierre? How are you doing?
What's going on, Ray? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How you doing? It was nice to have you on the last episode. We're talking about
fantastic.
Politics. Huh?
Yes. I said, I'm doing fantastic. It's Valentine's Day.
I don't know why you... Okay. Yeah, it's Valentine's Day.
Meaning, I just wanted to say I am excited to be on your show, and I appreciate you giving me this opportunity.
Oh, man, that's cool, man. We've been a long-time friends, and it's been a long time coming that we actually get to do more collaborations on stuff, man. That's cool. No biggie. So should we get into it? Tell the audience a little bit about yourself. And also, even though it is Valentine's Day, we only air every Wednesday. So, but, you know, we'll get caught up. We'll be there. But tell people about yourself, though, so they can kind of get an idea of who you are and what you do.
Well, for me, it's Fundraising Friday, so it's a perfect day to be on air and to talk about money. And, you know, like Ray said, we met back in, like, I want to say 2003. So we've been, you know, friends for a very, very long time. And I just moved to California when I met Ray. And I think I was working on Yuppies Magazine, another startup that I had there. And Ray and I collaborated on that project. And from there, you know, we just continued to work on other side hustles. And that's part of what we're going to talk about today as well. Graduated from Morehouse College back in 2001 and worked on Wall Street for 2 years. After that, I moved to L.A., was a consultant, and that's when, you know, I started to dib and dab, you know, a little bit here and there in the startup arena. And from there, I just, you know, started to say, all right, how do I do this for people of color? And that was really the driving factor for me, because right now I'm here on the East Coast and I have my family business, which is assisted living. And that business got started like back in 1978 with my aunt. And from there, you know, it's just been passed down, and it got me thinking about generational wealth. So all these things just start to, you know, come together. And then when Ray reached out to me, I was doing my Money Blitz podcast where, you know, it started off as a 30-minute podcast, and then I brought it to like a 5-minute Blitz podcast, and now it's a minute. And what I do in that podcast, I give, you know, definitions as well as what I call Blitz, really quick, practical, you know, answers about questions that you have about business that, you know, you can use in your business today that works. And that's what I wanted to also bring to this, you know, episode, as well as what we're doing here, Ray and I, on his show. So that is a little brief background about me and why I'm here and what you all can look forward to if you're tuning in to us.
Yeah, and also you've touched like every part of social media, I think, right? I can safely say that you've done Snapchat, you've done Instagram, you've done Facebook, you've even done the ads on Facebook, you even
built
apps. You've done everything.
I've done them all.
I've
the hustler spirit.
right. So we're going to go into it in a minute, but go ahead.
Well, hold on, Ray. Let me just say this. What people need to understand is, you know, when you are a entrepreneur and you're doing a startup for the very first time, you know, you want to solve problems. You are supposed to be a problem solver. But in the process of doing that, you have to, you know, test out different, you know, platforms to see what works best for you as you get your name out there. So, yeah, social media has been the best way for, you know, anyone who is starting with nothing, you know, but an idea to execute on such a higher level, because you can reach so many people due to social media and the internet. So, yes, I've done a lot of things, but I'm going to continue to do more. I love to test new products. I love to test new apps. So, yeah, go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I that's why I love, like, you know, that's why we, like, roll together, and I always, like, talk to you about stuff and bounce ideas off of you. One thing, you were talking about generational wealth, and I've been having a lot of conversations with people about things, and the point that many people don't touch on is having financial IQ or financial intelligence about things before they actually go into things, like knowing how to read a balance sheet or what type of insurance to get or how to play the financial markets or how to look at bank statements or look for proper interest rates and how to invest and things of that nature. So I'm sure that you've looked into those as well. And I'm always, like, looking for the best deal or bang for the buck or the best, like, in information to have, like, financial intelligence. So that's another reason why I always, like, bounce ideas off of you. So
yeah. And I'm glad you said that, because, you know, the thing is, when you look at, you know, people of color, and because, you know, we both are African American men, and what I will say is we always late to the party. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, when you think about how many people, you know, get money.
Wait, before you continue on that point, before you continue that, about being late to the party, another thing I want to just add to what you're saying, it's not also being late to the party. It's like sometimes there are people that are in affluent population or, like, or they have more access to stuff. And they are African-American, but they don't give access to people that are less than to help educate and bring them up also.
Crabs in a bucket. Crabs in a bucket, my brother. You know what I'm saying? Straight up. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. And for all those, you know, two-faced, you know, people, what I would have to say to them is shame on you. Shame on you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because
especially if you're African-American and, like, playing against each other.
Exactly. Here's the thing. You know, one thing I learned, you know, from college and going to an all, you know, male, you know, school such as Morehouse was the brotherly love, how to help one, you know, how I am my brother's keeper, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And how to give back. And that's something that we don't do when we do get money. All of a sudden we forget that, hey, someone had to help us as we were climbing that ladder of success. And while you got, you know, one hand, you know, reaching up to grab another, you should be bringing someone up there with you so you can actually show them the ropes, because you're not going to be on top forever. And a lot of people don't know how to step aside. So my thing is, financial literacy is the key for our community. And if more people really focused on that and really understand, like, all right, let me show you exactly how business works. Let me explain to you why you need to have, you know, a startup, you know, with this amount of money instead of, you know, going out and getting a venture capitalist and getting an angel investor. This is why you need to be on a shoestring budget, not so you can, you know, struggle, but so you can know that you can thrive and you can do it by yourself as a solopreneur before you say, okay, well, let me add more people to the team. It starts with you. A lot of people don't want to believe that. What they want to do is, hey, let me get you involved. Let me see what you can do. And then, hey, you want to, before you know it, they're trying to just get you to do the heavy lifting. And you have to be able to do the heavy lifting. And then once people start to see, wow, he got some traction, or wow, he got some results, or she got some results, then people are going to be like, hey, can I join you? Can I help you? But it starts with you. And you need to educate yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Working
and
playing in the NFL.
Right. And you know what? I've been doing a lot of reading on my own because, like you said, you have to start with you, and then you motivate people around you. Two books that I've been reading was one by David Goggins. I think his name's Goggins. Called Can't Hurt Me. And then another one is, like you were saying, Generational Wealth by LaFoy Orlando Thomas III. He's a lawyer.
Yeah.
And then also, like, I have other, like, connections that I've been reading. So I would encourage people to like, get that book. You can get both of those books through Amazon. And the audio book of David Goggins, the Can't Hurt Me book, is really amazing. Like, it has a podcast, and the guy is actually reading the book. So it kind of teaches you how to have, like, to be stoic, resilient for yourself. And then that enables you to lead. And then when you're leading, then people will follow you. And you can build like a strong business or build a great, like, I guess, tribe, you would say. And then also the follow-up would be like Jocko Willick. I think he's like an ex-Navy SEAL. He has like leadership strategies and extreme ownership. Those are two like really – those three books, if you read those alone, like it's a great starter for a good startup person or entrepreneur for sure. And just like what go ahead.
Those are great books, Ray, and I'm glad you referenced them. And, you know, I think here's the thing. I do believe, you know, I have an Audible account, you know, and whenever I can't, you know, get to, like, reading because I'm always on the go, I just, you know, listen to Audible and I download books. So I can still process it while I'm doing work. And that's the
right
thing. You have to also do the work. You can't just go and read. Like, you have to like, seriously, you have to say, okay, I read that. Now I got to go
now
practice
that.
Now
hold on, I'm quiet.
Correct.
Don't just be, like, reading stuff and collecting knowledge and be like, okay, I got all this stuff in my head. Now what do I do? Or just do nothing and just go to your 9-to-5 and then complain at your 9-to-5 how bad it is, but you're not doing anything about it, or you're not applying the knowledge that you learned in your reading to your work so you can take it into your entrepreneurship, into your small business, or into your personal life.
That's a great point that you are pointing out right now, because here's the thing. A 9-to-5 allows a lot of people to be relaxed. So,
right.
You know, when you think side hustle, as we segue into that, you know, a lot of people say, well, if my side hustle can become my main hustle, then I don't have to focus so much on the 9-to-5. Not actually, you all. You need that 9-to-5. You know what I'm saying? Because
Dream. Yeah.
Correct. Because none of those, you know, potential investors, before they become an anchor investor, meaning the person who's going to say, I will invest X amount of dollars on you, they need to see what you have put in yourself. You can't just go out there
that you did first. Right.
Yeah, give me money, and then people be like, well, what have you done thus far? And you were like, well, you know, right now it's all just in my head. I haven't actually, you know, come up with an action plan. But once you do, then you're not going to be seeking investors. You're going to be seeking customers. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
So don't waste your time trying to seek investors. Hurry up and create a product, a service from that idea that you have executed, and then start looking to get sales immediately.
Right. And also, like, when we're saying that, we're saying, like, when you're creating these products, you want to solve a problem. It's not just, like, some random, like, product. And even still, I even believe that no matter what it is, you can still create it, but it's going to have a certain level of success based upon how big the problem solves, just like I just said. I'm kind of like talking over myself, but I mean, about this all the time, like solving a big problem to get bigger investors, but you have to put the blood, sweat, and tears in yourself to do that. And if you can't get the money, go work for yourself, get a job, put money into it, and then once the side hustle starts taking over, then you can start to decide, okay, now do I quit my 9-to-5 or do I just work like a part-time gig so I have constant income to take care of my obligations and then work the business. And then once the business can take care of my basic break-even funds, then I can just be like, okay, all side hustle, I work for myself. because a lot of people are like hearing a lot of these motivational speakers and just like, I'm just going to quit my job. And they're like, oh shit, I'm broke. I don't know what the fuck to do with my money or whatever. I don't know how to live now because I just quit my job and doing a side hustle that's kind of making me money like every month or kind of every 2 weeks. And now I'm like eating top ramen or whatever when I was doing better when I had my 9-to-5 or whatever.
Yeah, earn while you build, brother. Earn while you build. No, because here's the thing. You know, I always say you got to build something to feel like you're going to be able to give back. So if you just latch on, and I'm not trying to knock affiliated marketing or network marketing, but once you build your own and you really have put blood, sweat, and tears into it, you're not just selling somebody else's product, then it's a whole different feel and a different approach that you have when you say, okay, this is something that is more than just a passion project for me. This is, you know, something that I want to be able to share with the world that adds value, so I don't feel like, you know, I just did something to do it because I wanted to get something out of my system and say, hey, you know, look at me. That's not what it's about. If that's the mentality, then you need to quit now before you even get started.
Right.
Because if you can't help others and solve problems, then it defeats the purpose of you even thinking of doing a startup or considering yourself as an entrepreneur.
Right. And wait, so I want to touch on that. You said something, a key word, add value. I hear a lot of people saying that. Let's talk about that. What the fuck does that even mean? Like, everybody's just like add value, but they don't actually say, they don't define that. Like, let's talk about that. When you hear that, or how do you define it?
Let's look at when you think of people saying the value, you know, proposition. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we could start there because when you look at what, you know, value proposition really means, it's like, you know, a service or a product that, you know, you have a company that's supposed to attract the customer. And that customer is saying, this right here that you have, you know, has been able to make my life that much better. So that's what people means when they this is what people mean when they say, can you add value to my life? Meaning that something that used to take me like 30 minutes, like let's say an app. So prime example, you got, you know, people who use Google Maps, but then you have people who use Waze, and some people like are saying, well, Waze, you know, lets me know when cops are right there at the corner, and then it gives me not the scenic route like Google Maps, it gives me exactly how to get there the fastest where I'm saving time. So people are big on how is this improving my life. If they can't figure out how whatever you have built, a product or service that you are, you know, displaying or, you know, trying to get out there to the masses, if it's not making their life better, easier, and it's not cheaper, you know what I'm saying, then they're not going to want to, like, pursue it or put money towards it because they're going to say, well, I don't see how it adds value. So when people say it, they're really being selfish. You see what I'm saying? They're really going through that meme war within themselves, saying, well, you know what? I've had this problem, and this company or this startup or this entrepreneur has been able to solve a big problem for me, and now they added value to my life. That's what they mean, Ray, when they say add value
to their life. So basically,
when
we say when we're adding value to somebody's life, it's basically solving the what's in it for me question. For the outside person, for the consumer.
Because when you think about it, if you say to yourself, I'm on a shoestring budget, I only can afford to spend this much time doing whatever you're doing, then what you're going to do is you're going to go Google and say, what's the quickest way for me to do something where I don't have to spend a lot of money or time at doing it and I still get great results? See, people want results. If you're not knee deep in getting people results, again, get the hell out of whatever you're about to start, because people want results based on whatever your product and service is, and then they can share it with other people. If they're not sharing, you know what I'm saying, then that's telling you right now that you didn't hit, you know, what we call the
tipping point, kind of like Malcolm Gladwell kind of deal, like the tipping point.
I mean, you can look at it that way. I look at it as, you know, you didn't find, you know, that problem. Like you didn't give me the answers I needed for the problem that I needed to have solved. So I'm gonna keep looking, and you're not gonna get my money because I didn't get results. Mm-hmm. People want results. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I mean by adding value. And you know who they are. You can look at Amazon. They get, you know, with Jeffrey P. Bezos, you know, you get results when you're on Amazon. You know what I'm saying? Whether you're selling something or whether you're
I don't want to talk
something.
About the customer service, how awesome it is, too. like they talk to you like you're a person.
I mean, and that's the thing. You know, people are so used to either talking to call centers out of India, you know what I'm saying, or they're used to talking to bots. You know, but when you get someone that has a human connection with you and you're just like, wow, they actually went above and beyond. They said, hey, happy birthday, or hey, you know, prime example, you know, happy Valentine's Day, you know, and it's the little things that make you feel important. People want to feel special. If you know how to make people feel special, then that is another way of adding value.
Mm-hmm. All right. So,
Did that answer your question, Ray?
Yeah, man, we were very thorough in answering that.
I want to know, man, because I don't want the listeners to feel left out or to feel like we're just talking to hear ourselves talk. You know, when they tune in.
No, we both, like, hit it, like, on the nail. Like, we nailed that one.
In regards to, like, you've seen Gary Vee, huh? I said quality content is what we're providing, or we don't need to be doing
no damn
podcast. Seriously.
Oh, right. I don't want to do it if it's just to be. I don't want to hear my voice. I don't like the sound of my voice most times. I'd rather write it down.
So hold on, you were talking about Gary Vee. So what's up with Gary Vaynerchuk?
Gary Vee, Ty Lopez, Grant Cardone, they're all giving this advice. Mainly, I mean, I hate to shout it out, but, you know, Gary Vee is like he's on Instagram a lot. Like, I feel like if you watch enough of it as a between like 20 and 30 year old, like, he's giving you all the solutions. Like, you really don't need to ask them the same questions. They're like repeating themselves. Like, what are your thoughts on that? Like, cause you're on Instagram a lot, aren't you often? I know you are.
I'm like you said, I'm on Instagram, Snapchat, all of them, bro. Facebook, Twitter. I'm there. And what I would say is the reason they want to repeat themselves is not that they're limited with the content that they're providing, but
I'm not making a dig at them either. This isn't a dig.
Okay,
it's just trying to, like, just understand. I'm just trying to, like, look at it, you know, from an eagle's eye view. These aren't digs. I'm trying to understand, like, why it is or how to give it more definition to what they're doing. That's all it is.
You know, here's the thing with business, you know what I'm saying? It's constantly changing, but some things never change. You know, numbers don't lie. So they know that the audience likes this content. So they stick to what their audience and what has given them results. Now, I'm not saying they're not risk takers. I'm not saying that they're not entrepreneurs. But when you think about it, none of them have, at least the ones that you have named, from Grant Cardone, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, Ty Lopez, none of them have really created something from scratch. You know, now they've created businesses that they partnered with. And what I mean by that, something like what you see Mark Zuckerberg did with Facebook, or what, you know, again, Jeffrey P. Bezos did with, you know, Amazon. These people created that from scratch. A lot of what they've done, you know, even with Gary Vee having VaynerMedia, you know, that was with him saying, well, I'm Gary Vee, you know, Wine Library TV. You see what I'm saying? He already had, you know, a name, and people are already going to follow him based on that. So other investors were like, yeah, I throw money into him because what his company is doing is helping, you know, bigger businesses help to market, get better with social media, get their name out there to the masses. Now, when you look at Grant Cardone, same thing. Started off selling cars. Then he got into, you know, saying, all right, now, you know, I'm going to focus on real estate. And now he has, you know, his capital, I think, Grant Cardone Capital or something. So you
right.
look at all of these. You know, and same thing with Ty Lopez, you know, with everything he was doing from the library with the cars, you know, which was a lot of window dressing, and that was to get people's attention. So a lot of what they've done, they were very strategic with it. And again, if it's not broke, you know what I'm saying, then you have nothing to fix, because right now that's what's been working. What I'm saying mm-hmm. is that's getting old. You see what I'm saying? Like in this,
right.
in 2020. In 2020, you have to be way more daring. You have to take way more risk, especially if you want to get your name out there based on social media, allowing you to have no excuses. You can put – like, you have your mobile phone. You can make movies. You see what I'm saying? People are doing movies on phones now. You see what I'm saying? On iPhones that's being put into, you know – Sundance. So you have no excuses because of the internet. So with that being said, it's all about you finding your niche. That's what mm-hmm. I would say. You can look at what they found their niche. That's all it is. That's why they repeat themselves.
Okay.
But once you find your own niche, you see what I'm saying? And you
well, here's
know
the thing. What I really want to speak to is just that when you're doing the social media, like how much exposure is too much? Because some people, they're just like, oh, this is me using the bathroom, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I guess showing as much as you're willing to show, you know what I'm saying, without, like giving away your soul type deal?
Well, here's the thing, you know, in this day and age, everybody, you got to look at it like art, right? You know what I'm saying? You really have to look at it like art, because when people can't really explain themselves, the first thing that's coming out of their mouth, well, you know, that's my individual take on this. You know what I'm saying? So with everybody wanting to be, you know, I guess finding their own voice, you look at how many times people say, I'm independent. You know, it's all on me. You see what I'm saying? So you can't really critique me if I'm an artist. You know what I'm saying? You can't critique me if I'm an entrepreneur, because I'm finding my target audience. And when they're saying, hey, look at me use the restroom, or look at me, it's like you're getting behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? You're getting behind
right.
the scenes, behind of what their real life is like. Now, what you might see a lot of is people flashing money, or a lot of women, especially on Instagram, taking selfies and living this perfect life. And you're kind of like, wow, is that really how they live? You know what I'm saying? And that's where you kind of be like, all right, it might be a little bit too much. But I think that's all about, you know, people going through identity crisis, people really trying to find themselves and find their voice. I don't hold it against them. I just think that,
yeah, I don't either.
You know,
be authentic. Yeah, it's all about authenticity. Yeah, I get that.
You got to get out your system, Ray. You see what I'm saying? You got to get it out. So once they
right.
go back and they be like, oh, I've already done that, let me now try something different. It's trial and error. That's how I look
right.
at it.
Okay. Well, it's time to kind of wrap up. Do you have any parting thoughts or your – last words, because I'm looking forward to us doing the next podcast. So what are your parting thoughts for us? Yeah.
Sure. I just want the listeners to know that, you know, moving forward, we'll have a game plan for them, and we'll have, like, you know, like takeaways where when we finish the show, feel like, all right, that was something that was worth my time, you know, and it's all for the free 99.
Right, and what is your takeaway point that they can, like, live with, like, at the end of the show? Is there something that you want them to know?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I feel that, you know, when you really find your voice, and when you allow yourself to take the risk, then you're not waiting on dear life. You're doing it right now. You know what I'm saying? Not tomorrow, not yesterday, like, at this second. And when you actually find your audience, you know, as you were saying, Ray, you find your tribe. When you actually, you know, do that, then, you know, something's going to resonate with someone else that's going to drive you to want to keep going. Because I'm going to tell you right now, at the beginning, it's not going to be like that. You're going to feel like you're a solopreneur. But just never quit. Keep going no matter what, because you're going to get better each and every day that you're doing this. On my podcast, Money Bliss TV, I do that podcast every single day. For the last 2 years, I've never missed a day. And I just recorded episode 755. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So my game plan is to get 1,000 of those. I do it every single day. That's how you become great. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Forget about being good. You wanna reach greatness? Then you got to do something every day. You got to have that Mamba mentality, like my man Kobe, rest in peace, said.
Yeah, you know, dominate the field.
No doubt. So on closing note, if anything, never quit. Point blank, just never quit.
All right, got you. And for me, I would say take some time and do some financial literacy reading, like on a regular basis. Don't go in with an hour. Just start with 5 minutes. That 5 minutes is going to lead to an hour. But just do it on a consistent basis, even if it's one day a week. The readings, if you want to just do some book reading, financial literacy is the Generational Wealth book by LaFoy Orlando Thomas III. You can find that on Amazon. And the book on resilience and being stoic with business, it gives you the mindset to forge forward. One book I would encourage the listeners to read is The Can't Hurt Me book by David Goggins, and then read books by Jocko Willick, or even look at his Instagram. He's up every day, I believe it's at 4:30, and doing his workout. And then on every Monday, like he like gives you like a motivational shout out to like go out and go get it. And that's it.
Yep.
So I'll leave you with that, and tune in to our next business episode is going to be coming up. So I'm looking forward to talking with you more, Pete. We're going to like dig into this, and I hope the listeners get a lot out of it. And we really like defined a lot of stuff, especially with the add value thing, because I hear that being thrown out a lot. So thanks like defining that, man. I appreciate you.
Look, man, thanks for having me on.
All right, and as always, be good to each other, and we look forward to you guys listening to us soon. And we're out.